few weeks ago, I was asked to deliver a series of lessons to the congregation that dealt with digital addiction. And after preaching that series of lessons there, I thought that it might be appropriate for us to talk a little bit about it. So we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning and for the next couple of lessons that we'll be talking about. Glad to see everyone that is here today. We appreciate your presence very, very much. And we hope that you brought your Bibles, that you'll study with us from the Word of God. And we're certainly glad that you're here. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, beginning at verse 6, the Word says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This particular text introduces to us a number of things, but as I have titled the lesson, God's Way for Today's Problems. And I think that's very important for us to realize that God's Word is very applicable to our problems and how we can resolve them by following God's will. So I hope that the lesson that we talk about this morning will be helpful. And I hope that if you have any questions, that you be sure and let me know about that. Well, when we talk about the idea of digital addiction, we all have digital devices, and many, many of them. And the problem is that we're finding that folks are becoming addicted. And we may not even realize it. We may not even recognize that at all in our lives. But when we think about digital addiction, I think we need to define some terms. First of all, the word digital is simply, in electronic context, a digital device or technology, a clock, a computer, cell phone, etc. And our houses are full of these things. When we consider the idea of addiction, it's defined as compulsive need for and use of habit-forming substances, whether you're talking about heroin, nicotine, alcohol, or activity like gambling, pornography, or internet. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever heard anybody say anything about someone being addicted to the internet. But we certainly have heard people being addicted to alcohol or nicotine or other drugs. We've certainly heard about addiction to gambling and so forth. Well, today we're going to talk about this idea of digital addiction. And that is just the compulsive need for the use of a habit-forming activity, internet, computer, cell phone, video, games, etc. Now, so that you do not misunderstand from the very get-go, many of us use digital technology for our jobs, whether it be our cell phones or computers. There's lots of different digital technologies that are very important to us. But the question is today, is there an addiction to digital technology? Well, I guess all of us have some sort of technology, but how do you know if you're addicted? Well, you feel compelled to check your phone, play computer games throughout the day, and feel anxious, agitated, or depressed if you can't. Well, I have to tell you, someone who is definitely not addicted to her phone is my wife. She leaves it laying and she can go off and leave it, and it's she's better than she used to be, but you know, she's not tied to that thing. And me, I'm carrying it around everywhere I go because one of you all might call. Somebody might need something. Somebody might text me. I need to have that. Well, we all in business situations, social situations, we have this. But then we talk about computer games. My son grew up with computer games, and he would play those things, and we'd have to go in there and say, okay, Daniel, you need to go outside and play now. Oh, Dad, I don't want to go outside. I want to play my video games. And those things in and of themselves are not wrong, but yet sometimes we even understand with our children that they're spending too much time watching TV. They're spending too much time playing Xbox, etc. Well, when we consider that, notice some statistics that I was able to find more recent. 69% of parents and 78% of teens check their devices at least hourly. All right. My guess is most of you bring your cell phones and your digital devices into worship assemblies. Well, we're going to have more to say about that in another lesson. But I will just say, you know, I do hear from time to time, no, I'll leave that thing in the car. I don't want to hear it go off, or I don't want, you know, be bothered or whatever. But yeah, this is a pretty startling statistic. 36% of parents feel they argue with their children on a daily basis about device use. Now, with you, that might be more. With you, that might be less. The fact that our children, and I'm going to say children, have digital devices is something that is a lot different than when I grew up. We didn't have digital devices. I'm not even sure that was a word back then. But the idea is that many of our children have lots of different digital technology. So is there a problem sometimes with us as parents in talking to our children about it? When we consider digital devices, the average American spends about 24 hours a week online, about 3.5 hours per day. The ages of 18 to 24 check their phones 74 times a day. Now you think about that. Ages 5 to 6 spend 6.5 hours per day looking at a screen. Now what influences that a lot is kids go to school and they have classes and so forth and look at computers. So that raises the rate as well. There's been a lot of studies recently that link ADHD to video games. I saw just a recent statistic that I didn't put in the notes here, but it seems that nearly 10% of children today have ADHD. There's something that has changed in some regards to our society that didn't used to be. The average American spends over 11 hours per day looking at a screen. Now that includes TV. So if you take TV, you take your cell phone, your iPad, computer at work, you add all that up, 11 hours per day. There's probably some of us that look longer than that. I'm sure there's several that look a whole lot less than that. But on average, just maybe we're addicted and we don't even realize it. I'll tell you this. One of the statistics, and I decided not to put it up there, it even had statistics on how many couples use their cell phone when they are in the privacy of the bedroom. You're thinking, what? They're texting somebody when they shouldn't be. Now, I don't know how they get all those statistics. But there's definitely an issue with a lot of people about digital technology. Digital technology can be very, very useful. My first chemistry course in college, I bought me a new Texas Instrument calculator. It was the science calculator. Cost me about $120. Well, $120 in 1974 might as well have been $1,000. But I was able to purchase one. Took it to my first chemistry class. I was all ready for class and do that scientific notation and so forth. The teacher, he got up and said, if you have a calculator... you can't use it in class. He said, we're going to be using this. Now, my guess is the majority of people in this room do not even know what that is. That is a slide rule. And that was the way we did math on a calculator back in the olden days. You could even do scientific notation on this thing. All right? Now, there I was. I had a calculator, but he wanted us to use the ancient way. All right? I was pretty upset about that. I think by the last test of the course, he said we could use our calculator. Thank you very much. Well, we've come a long way since this. And there was a day, back during Jimmy's day, when he was in school, when these weren't invented. They didn't have these. I mean, they had, you know, rocks and so forth. But anyway. I love picking on Jimmy. He's such a sweet target. My first computer for church work involved these. Anybody recognize what those are? One was the program in slot A. Slot B, you put it in, and this was your data. And I got that computer. I was using a Selectric typewriter to do a weekly newspaper article and a monthly bulletin. And it had, this typewriter was really, really, really advanced. This church had bought this typewriter, and it had a correction key on it. And so you're typing away, and you make a mistake, or you could back up and push the correction key, and it would make it disappear, and then you could put in the correct letter. I mean, that was great, all right? I thought I was in hog heaven. Then somebody said, have you ever looked at a computer? And I went to Radio Shack, bought a Tandy computer, had A and B, no hard drive. And we started using this. I thought I'd died, gone to heaven, as I said. That was great. That was wonderful. Well, it wasn't too awful long that computers became more and more advanced. And then we got something that looked like this. And then this would hold hundreds of these. And we would put that in there, and it would be like, whoa, this thing is so fast. And I remember my first computer that I got that had a hard drive on it, and it had 8 megabytes of hard drive. Did you hear me? 8 megabytes of hard drive. And I told my wife, I will never, ever need another computer. And it had an amber screen. All right, not color. The letters were amber color. All right? It's supposed to be easier on your eyes than black and white. All right? Wasn't too long that went away, and then these came along. And you could put hundreds of these on this. And then it wasn't too awful long that they came along with this little bitty old thing that was the weirdest looking little thing, and they call it a thumb drive. And you can put hundreds of these on this. Now this is as far as I've got. I know they've got more new and exciting things, but yet digital technology has come a long, long ways. And now, with computers, when I do newspaper articles, I can cut and paste. For you all that are not digitally savvy, just bear with me. But I'm writing an article, and I don't like that paragraph there. I just cut that out, move it down to another place, then paste it and do all of that. You know how long it would have taken to have done that with a Selectric typewriter? You had to just do it all over again, you know, to get it right. So computer work has been a tremendous help just in my work with the church. Sermon presentations. The first sermons that I started preaching, now I was after when they started using those bed sheets. Okay? Y'all been to sermons, you see the bed sheets, and it's like, you know, it's sometimes as big as that screen. And everything that the guy's going to preach is on that. And there's like 80 scriptures on there and all these points and everything. And you go and you see that and you think, wow, we're going to be here for an hour or so. In those days, you were there for an hour or hour and a half because he preached all of that, right? Well, when I started preaching, you know, we used the blackboard a lot. My scribbling, kind of hieroglyphic looking, and most people could not even read what I wrote on the green board or the blackboard, whichever one was available. And then they came along with those magic markers, you know, and you start using the magic markers on a whiteboard. I remember we got the whiteboard and we thought, wow, this is so advanced technology. Well, we hadn't gotten into technology yet. It's just a matter of having a red pen and a blue pen and a black pen. You could write on a whiteboard and it would show up and it was awesome. Right? But when I wrote my hieroglyphics on there, nobody could read it anyway. Well, overhead projectors come along. Then one day in 2000, I was preaching at Jordan Park. The elders came to me after using these plastic overheads for so long. Oh, I forgot to mention, computers then allowed us to make those old graphs on the overhead projector. I could start printing them out in color. I've got stacks this high of transparencies that are just dinosaurs, of hundreds of sermons, of colored charts that I thought was just awesome. When 2000, the elder said, if we bought you a laptop, would you use PowerPoint? I didn't know what they were talking about. Well, sure, I'll take it. I've learned this through the years. When the church offers to give you something, take it. Anyway, I got the laptop. I didn't know PowerPoint from, you know, end around. I didn't know what it was. So, learned to use that thing. Learned PowerPoint. There was a girl that was there at Jordan Park who worked for CAS. And her job was to make PowerPoints for those who were going to make presentations. I handed her several of my sermons. I said, would you make me some PowerPoints? She made me some PowerPoints. And man, there I was. Bam, bam, bam. It was just, I was on. It was great. It was wonderful. You know, all that digital technology is pretty awesome. I've been using that for a long, long time now. It's a great way to teach. Digital technology is great. My first cell phone was about this big. It was huge. I think we got 15 calls per month on that plan. And all we got it for, we were living in Huntsville. Our kids were going to Athens Bible school. And we gave them one of the phones. And when they got to school, they would make a phone call. We got here safely. Well, 15 calls in a month, all the days. Well, we didn't have enough. So you had to pay extra for all the... Now, I'm telling you all this, and everybody's sitting there saying, man, you're ancient. Well, digital technology has come a million miles, light years away, just in the last few years. There's been lots of different things. I remember the first time that I got an iPhone, and it was one of the little smaller ones, you know, which I kind of like those better. Anyway, but anyway, the little smaller ones. And I was serving as one of the elders in the church up in Bowling Green, and the other elders, they all had these phones. And so I got me one. And what was cool, one of our elders, he was a lawyer. And he would be in court. And there would be something that come up that we need to make some kind of decision about something other and find out about something other. I could text him while he was in court. And he would answer and send me back a text. Oh, that's awesome. Or else, you'd have to wait till after he got out of court and later on that day or whatever, you know. It just kind of made life faster. And I think that's going to be one of the key words. Life is so much faster. Faster. Well, if you're talking about Corvettes, faster is good. But we're not always talking about Corvettes. We're talking about our lives. Digital technology has really sped us up. And in many ways, it's great. But is digital technology a matter of right and wrong? What we learn from God's Word is, number one, there are things that are commanded. Baptism, Lord's Supper, etc. There are things that are forbidden. Murder, fornication, example. And then there are things that are of liberty. Like getting married, that's a liberty. Eating meat, that's a liberty. Having digital technology would have to be that which is a liberty. But when we consider the things that are liberty, we need to consider this. God's Word guides us even with liberties, with freedoms that we have. Just because we say, well, yeah, it's a freedom, it's a liberty that we have of God, doesn't mean we can just go hog wild and pig crazy. God even guides us and directs us about the use of liberties. And I would say very simply today, this is not my lesson per se, but I think it's important to the lesson. How God's Word guides us, we should not ever violate our own or another's conscience with a liberty. Now, at some point, probably the third lesson, I'm going to talk about social media. That has become a major player in our lives. There are still some of you that have no dealings with social media, and that's fine. But we've become very, very dependent, so many of us, on social media in so many ways. Even the way sometimes we inform each other about things in the church, we use social media. Some of you are still in the dark about it. I'm not complaining or condemning you, but it's just what it is. But the deal is that sometimes we can take a freedom and we can use it in such a way that it causes even ourselves to sin. Sometimes we use a freedom and it causes others to sin. Romans chapter 14 deals with that specifically in the case of eating meats. And I think most of us are familiar with that concept. So go back and read that, Romans 14 again, verses 13 through 23. Well, having said that, it should not lead us or others to sin. Unfortunately, at some point in time, we need to talk about addiction in regards to the internet and some very vile and corrupting sins that people can get themselves involved in. So you can take a freedom, you can take something which is a liberty, and you can abuse it, and you can sin. And you can use it to cause others to sin. Well, having said that, maybe it's a time for just our own little self-check. To examine our own hearts, to examine ourselves about this, as Paul said, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. And again, I had not ever really considered going into any major details of studying this kind of thing until I was asked by some elders to come and to specifically talk about, and they made a list of several things in regards to digital technology. So that's when I really seriously started studying this and thinking about it. And I think it's applicable to us here at Anderson and for us to think about it. So I'm not here charging anybody with anything. I don't really know of anything. But this is, I hope, preventative. I hope it's helpful to us for us to stop and consider it. Not only for us personally as adults, but especially if we have children who have digital devices. And I want to say at the get-go, if you're allowing your children to use computers and cell phones by themselves with their door closed, you are asking for trouble. It's so easily accessible. So many bad things. One of the number one ways that people out there in the world abuse others' children is through the use of social media. You need to be aware of that. How much time do you spend looking at a screen? I've given you some statistics, but that may not apply to you at all. But here might be just a little test. It's too easy, brethren. It's too easy for us to hear something like this and say, well, that don't apply to me. I ain't no problem. Hello? We're on our phone. We're on our computers all the time. Have you ever really just stopped to figure out how much time you do spend? Why not do a few day test and see? Secondly, compare your time spent praying, reading your Bible, and worshiping God. I know you've seen and I'll show it a little bit later, but I know you've seen, what if we treated our Bibles like some people treat their cell phone? Carry it with them all the time. You know, they're always checking in. And it's a great point. Third, compare time you spend actually talking personally with family and friends, etc., versus. My wife and I'm at the office. She's at home with grandbabies or something. I text her. She texts me. It's a quick and easy way. And it really is. And I think I've heard lots of people say this. They would rather text someone and get the information they want, or just say hello, hi, or I love you, or something like that, rather than call them and talk to them, or go see them and talk to them, because the latter two take so much time. When you could just say, howdy, you know, miss you or something, and you're done with it. But what is happening, and what we're finding is that it's taken away from personal relationships. There are so many people today that the only way they communicate with other people is through digital technology, and thus eliminate the personal contact. Have you ever tried to cut back from using your digital devices and couldn't? And here's the classic statement. I can quit anytime I want. What are you talking about? Drinking? Whatever you're talking about. I can just quit anytime I want. Well, here's the way you can tell if you have an addiction. If you can quit anytime you want to, then just quit. Sometimes I'll see people on Facebook, they'll say, well, I'm going to give up Facebook for a week or a month. I'll tune back later or whatever, you know, kind of, I'll come back later. And they're taking a break from it. Could you take a break from Facebook? Could you take a break from Twitter? Could you take a break from your digital devices? Again, some people have to have it for work, etc. But it might be a way to tell, to test to see if we are actually addicted. Has anyone ever told you that you use digital devices too much? Has your spouse ever said to you, would you get off that thing? I want to talk to you. You ever heard that? There might be a reason for it. Has your spouse, a parent, a child ever gotten angry with you because of the time spent on a device? You ever had an argument about it? What does God's Word say about addictions? This is important. We need to be able to practice self-control. Self-control is the ability to be in control of our lives and not let other things control us. Now, that's a broad brushstroke, but we're making application to it specifically in regards to digital addiction. Could you, in any shape, form, or fashion, say that you are the one that is in total control of how much you use your digital technology? Well, the Bible would teach us we need to be or have self-control. Buffet our bodies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, Paul makes a very important point about the flesh and the spirit. The idea is that, as Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So what do I have to do about my flesh sometimes? I need to buffet it. The word buffet, not buffet, buffet means to beat black and blue. Now, Paul's not teaching that we become masochists, that we start cutting ourselves and all that sort of thing. No. But rather, he's saying, metaphorically, he is saying that you need to get your body under control. Now, that would be in regards to sex. That would be in regards to eating. That would be in regards to all sorts of things. The application I'm making is digital addiction. Are we fleshly so attached that we have to see a movie, we have to play that video game, we have to text, we have to tweet, we have to all of this, we just have to do that. We've got this compulsion. We just can't put it down. Then you need to buffet your body. Paul, what other texts say, you need to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. What does that mean? You need to quit it. If you're going to buffet your body in regards to drinking, what do? You quit drinking. You buffet the body. You take away from it what it desires. Can your body, flesh, can it desire and want? All men and women have fleshly desires from many sources. Who's in control of your life? Everything around you? Are you in control of yourself? Is it really profitable? my wife and I go. She works over here at the building a whole bunch when I'm here. She's always doing something. We teach. We're involved in a lot of other things. I'm not saying that you feel sorry for me or look at me how great I am. I'm just saying. We go. Brethren, funerals, preaching, teaching. You know, sometimes we get sick of all of you. No, we don't. We don't get sick of you. But sometimes we have to take a break. We just have to take a break. So sometimes we'll go off to Florence, and if there's even something halfway decent we can watch, you know, we may watch a movie or something. Or we may go and watch the grandkids entertain us or something for a little while, or go to a ball game. We do that too. But every once in a while, we just, if there is anything, and in summertime is the worst, to try to be able to record a movie, to be able to watch something, we like to sit down, and whether we're going to watch Gunsmoke, or we're going to watch Bonanza, or we're going to watch some, you know, we sit there, and honestly, after we sit there for an hour, 2 hours, and we watch something, we could ask this question. Now, did that really profit us? Well, we didn't really learn anything. We didn't, you know, no, not really. But yeah, there was a profit. We needed a break. So that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when you spend time and 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 money and money and money and money and money, and what does it profit you? Nothing. I'm not against kids playing video games. But kids can spend their lives playing video games, and they have bypassed the life lessons of going out in the front yard and learning to entertain themselves and to be able to socialize with neighbor kids and get in a fight and learn how to resolve it and the life is out there, and they still need to experience that, because when they grow up, they're going to have to deal with stuff. Okay? Video games doesn't teach you how to deal with stuff other than to shoot that monster or whatever they do. So am I saying video games are wrong? No, I didn't say that. The parents would love me to say that, but I'm not going to say that. But can there be too much? Can we spend too much time? Yeah. Is it harmful to us? We've said this before. I grew up, house full of guns. Daddy kept them loaded. And there were no locks on them. My dad grew up in a home where there was a shotgun or a rifle in every corner. There were 7 of those kids. No one ever grabbed one of those guns, shot anybody, took one to school, shoot nobody. I don't know if, because of the digital technology, that a generation is growing up to not realize reality when they kill someone in a game and they get back up and go again. I don't know if that is changing how we think about life and death, but it might be one of the causes. You just get a gun and go to school and shoot a bunch of people, well, what's going to happen? Maybe they're living in some kind of fantasy where they think those kids are going to get up in a few minutes and everything's going to be fine. And they push reset and it's all going to be no more blood. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. And I think most people that are those things are not that either. I don't know the answers. But I do know this. Even good things can cause harmful effects. What about my influence? What would you think about me as a preacher? If I kept my earplug in my ear, attached to my cell phone, and while I'm preaching, I'm listening to a ball game during the sermon. And here I'm preaching along, and I'm preaching and preaching, and then I go, "Yes, we scored!" And the Lord said, you'd say, what would you say? What would you think? I'm sure the elders would say, you need to take that thing out a year and turn your phone. You don't need to be listening to the ball game while we're worshiping the Lord. And would that be correct? That would be correct. So there is, to a point, too much is too much. When we get to that point, it affects my influence. Would that affect my influence as a preacher? Yeah. Does it affect yours? Do you ever sit in worship services with your iPad, your cell phone, and look at things other than what you're supposed to be looking at and paying attention to? Do you think nobody sees you do that? You're hurting your influence. Had a young girl come up to me, not here, another place. Had a young girl come up to me and she said, "I just want you to know my daddy was playing Angry Birds during the sermon." Angry Birds? I don't play that game. I don't know what it is, but he was playing it during his worship service. She ratted on him. Threw him under the bus. How could an adult sit in an auditorium like this and use a cell phone or iPad and play Angry Birds or whatever it's called? Is that what it's called? Angry Birds? Is there an Angry Bird deal? I'm asking old people. Justin, do you know about Angry Birds? You do? Okay, there you go. Don't you think that somebody might see you playing Angry Birds in church? Maybe somebody's putting down their computer right now. Cell phone. Hiding it. Well, if you're playing Angry Birds in church, you ought to put it down. Can that hurt your influence? Don't be overcome. Paul says, that by which we've been overcome, we are slave to it. Slave. We can't overcome by faith. Now, how do you overcome this? Just from what we've talked about today. And I've got lots more I want to tell you about this. I think it's an important topic. But just as in regards to this, I'm convinced that whatever the devil throws at us, even if it in and of itself is a freedom, a liberty, the devil will find some way to tempt us to use it for no good. That doesn't say you can't use it, but it says we must be aware. We must be alert. If you're having difficulty with digital technology, if you are having a hard time paying attention in worship services, in your life, to your spouse, to your children, to your parents, you can overcome this. You can quit it. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Well, what does that mean? It means that if I will trust in God and if I will obey God and love God the way I should, then whatever is keeping me from doing what I ought to be doing, I can overcome that. The blood of Christ can forgive me of that, and I can do what I ought to do, how I ought to do it. That is the reason I began with the passage in Isaiah 55. God's will is the answer to all of our problems today. So, is the Lord first? Or is that video game first? Only you can answer that question. But I hope that you'll think about that. Appreciate you listening this morning. A song of encouragement is selected this morning. If anyone is here and needs to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, or anyone here that needs to obey or come and ask for prayers of the church, we're here to pray with you and pray for you. We would hope today that if you need to be baptized into Christ, that you're willing to do that. As we're going to sing, "Whiter than snow, all of your sins can be washed away, and you can leave whiter than snow, a child of God." Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Lord Jesus, I come.